Thank you. I'm going to be presenting today's project on behalf of a group I work with. We're part of the Working Group on Migration, Gender, and Health that's based at the University of North Carolina. And some of my co-authors are there, as well as other members that are part of the larger group that have helped out with this research. And today's project is just one piece of a larger project that this team has been working on over the past 5 years. I initially started working with a group of female health promotoras, Latina promotoras, and they kind of posed the question of, what can we do about the men in our community, about the Latino men? And so this research that I'll be presenting today kind of stems from that original question that they posed. We've done this work in North Carolina, in the central part. And just to give you a little background on North Carolina, like other southeastern states, the Latino population is relatively new in the past 20 years. So for example, in North Carolina, the Latino population doubled between 2000 and 2010. We focus our work, you see that little blue square, in Orange County, North Carolina, which is where the University of North Carolina is focused. And like I mentioned, we initially were working with promotoras, and then we went into a second phase of research where we were working with both women and men, men and their families. And then in this phase of research, we were working primarily with Latino male day laborers. When I say day laborers, I mean men who are each day seeking new employment. So they don't have steady employment, but rather are looking either day to day or week to week for new employment. And we focused particularly on this population. We kind of, our previous research led us there because we saw that these men were often the least connected in terms of networks. They didn't have their families here. A lot of them were undocumented and newer arrivals. And so that's where we focus our research that I'm presenting today. We were asking basically three main questions that were very broad. We realized that we needed to understand how these men perceived their community and perceived health. So we asked, first, how do Latino men working as day laborers perceive their community? How do they describe their health needs? And then how does their community environment influence their ability to meet their health needs? So those were the broad questions we were trying to address with this research. So we had previously been working with a community organization in Orange County, and they helped us recruit a convenient sample of Latino day laborers. And so what we ended up doing was conducting three focus groups with about 10 participants each. And then based on the findings from that, we followed it up with a photo project where we gave men cameras. They brainstormed different topics related to their community that they were interested in discussing, took photos, came back together, and discussed them. So those different groups, group discussions serves as the data for this presentation. Oh, and one final thing, we asked them to draw a community map, which I'll show here, which kind of helps describe some of the results that we have. So when we asked about their perceptions of the community, they did have some positive things to say of the community, but overwhelmingly through the groups, they described this sense of marginalization, that they sort of felt outsiders to the main, from the main community. And one story in particular kind of describes how these men felt. So one of the men in the photo project took this photo, and he brought it to the group, and they were discussing it, and we asked, "So why did you take this photo?" And he started to say, "You know, this building, it's so beautiful," and this happens to be a new building in town. "So beautiful, you know, inside they have their kitchen, they have their washer, their dryer, they're painted, the walls are painted all different colors based on what the owners want," and he was really describing about just how beautiful this building was. And then he kind of paused and went on to say, "Well, you know, in this building it was built by Latino hands." And he paused again and continued and said, "You know, in my dreams, I wish that one day I'd be able to live there. I could just attend something inside. I could go inside." And so for him, he spent his time building this, but then once that was all over, it was part of another world that he didn't belong to. And so then they continued talking about their housing experiences, and you know, another photo that they had taken, the photo on the right, shows sort of the more dilapidated apartment complex that the men described that they themselves lived in. They described, you know, either these complexes or trailer parks that are on the periphery of town that they lived in. So again, this contributes to this kind of outsider feeling that a lot of the men had. This was the map that they drew. And you'll see here the black boxes represent some of the apartment complexes where they lived. And you'll note that next to it they wrote dos muertos, un muerto, or one dead, two dead. And what they meant by that was both from traffic accidents and from murder. And so for them, they were saying this within the context of, we don't feel safe in those areas. Now, the town that we live in is not particularly crime-ridden. It's not considered to be particularly dangerous. But again, these are the perceptions that the men had, that they felt that it was dangerous by where they lived. And then again, this is part of sort of the safety danger aspect. They said, you know, the area where they live, there's very few sidewalks, and they have to cross the street. And where they do go look for work, which is a particular street corner in town, is across the street, across a major five-lane street from where the apartment complexes are, and a lot of them express kind of concern about their safety crossing that street each day. So these discussions about safety naturally led to kind of questions about, well, how do you feel, what do you feel like you might be able to do about this, or how do you feel about your interactions with the community? And they described that they really felt like they had very little political power. So one of the men said, it's probably because us Hispanics don't have a vote. Don't have a vote there. Can't even go there to the mayor and tell him, listen, you've got to do this. And so they felt like they didn't really have that link to either the community government or others to be able to have a say in kind of how their area of town gets developed. They also described perceptions of more overt discrimination. So regarding the safety that they were concerned about, they say about the police in town, there's a certain discrimination. I mean, as long as it's between us killing and stealing, it's like the police don't intervene because they say it's just them, no big deal. So if it's, you know, crimes between Latinos, they have the perception that the police won't get involved. It's only if Latinos are committing crimes against others that the police will be concerned. And so within this context of feelings of being marginalized or discriminated against, you know, the broader focus of this research was along health and how are they seeing their health and concerns about health. And so through this research, we identified three main pathways that this marginalization leads to negative health outcomes. Of course, there are many more, but these were the ones that were highlighted in our research. So the first being that this marginalization leads to constrained work opportunities, and the types of work that they're able to do leads to workplace injuries and illnesses. Again, that same constraint on the type of work they're able to do results in a lack of steady employment, and this results in anxiety, stress, and depression. And finally, their exclusion from the formal healthcare system results in decreased access to healthcare. And all of these factors are interrelated, but we'll describe each one of them separately. So first off, this being constrained to only unsafe work opportunities. I think this is a nice example that one man described. He said, when we tore down those apartments, I got sick because it was there. Inside the drywall was full of mold. The insulation was wet because the building is so old. I told the boss that I couldn't work in it. I got sick on the job, so I had to lose the job. And so these men describe that they'll have to, if they want to make money that day, they'll have to make certain sacrifices. And they describe that some contractors will provide safety equipment, but others won't as a way to save money. And so it's kind of on them if they want to be able to provide the safety equipment. And of course, he says he has to lose his job here. So that kind of leads to the next example of lack of steady employment. So these men, sometimes they did have steady employment where each day they were able to find work, but they'd go stretches without work. And especially in the winter months, they had a really hard time finding employment. One man describes his family was back in Mexico, and he describes, right now, I don't know if my family has food on the table or not. And then I can barely sleep because I'm thinking about my family. And it's even worse when someone's sick. You worry even more. You aren't working and my son is sick or something. You feel like your head's going to explode. But what can you do? There's nothing you can do. And so this this kind of emphasizes the fact that these men are often coming to the country to earn money for families back home, or if their families are in the state, to make money for those families. And so when they're not able to find work or they're not able to find employment, then this results in anxiety, stress, and depression. Again, using the map, we did ask them some of the ways, how do you deal with this stress or depression? And in green, they drew things that they'll do for fun to try to release stress. And so they say they'll go out to a restaurant or play soccer or go to the local lake. They also describe that they use each other a lot as peer support to get over some of these stressful times. But they did also mention that some men will use violence or drinking as a way to release stress. So one guy says, because you have a bunch of problems, you drink a beer, listen to music, you forget at least a little bit, but tomorrow you wake up and it's the same as before. So this was another kind of coping mechanism that led to potentially negative health outcomes. And the final pathway we identified was this exclusion from the healthcare system. So, you know, because of the type of employment they do, they don't have access to employee-based healthcare. Undocumented immigrants have been left out of the Affordable Care Act. Medicaid doesn't cover adult men. And so really these formal ways that individuals are receiving health care in the U.S. and in North Carolina in particular aren't covering these individuals. One guy, and so these are out-of-pocket expenses, any health care expenses they have. And one guy says, sometimes we don't have much money to pay for the rent, our food, and we don't have enough money for a doctor. So these are the choices that they have to make, whether to pay the rent or pay for a doctor. Again, going to the map, so they did highlight there's a federally qualified health center within the town that does provide services for uninsured individuals. And those of you that read Spanish, it says, clinic where nadie va, where nobody goes. And so what the men were talking about was themselves. They know that this clinic is full and lots of people go there, but they themselves did not go to this clinic because they didn't perceive that they had access there. And one of the guys describes it. He says, they told me, come back in 2 months. I went 2 months later, and they said, we don't have any spots. Come back in 2 months. Now it's been a year, and there just isn't anything. It's for women and children. They're the priority for them. And so this community health center is themselves overstretched with patients and resources, and so they need to make choices and priorities. And at least in the perception of these men, they've been prioritizing women and children. And these men didn't necessarily have a problem with it, but it highlights that they didn't feel like they had access to this clinic that's supposedly for people like them. And so they did describe some alternative strategies that they would use to meet their health needs. They would visit sobadores or hueseros, which are traditional healers, more or less similar to informal chiropractors or masseuses, to deal with some of the problems they had with from the work-related injuries. The men also described that there was another immigrant who was trained as a veterinarian in Mexico, and they would seek advice from him on what they should do about their health ailments. Again, this demonstrates that they don't really have other options, so they're using what they have. And then that final example is an example of self-medication. So he says, I spent 4 days in bed. I was just sweating and sweating, and I didn't go to the doctor. Just pills for the pain. So this is a common way that men said that they dealt with their health concerns, is they talk amongst themselves about their ailment and figure out what might be the best thing that they can buy at the pharmacy and then go buy it. And that was how they dealt with these issues. So to conclude, this study demonstrates that these day laborers' health is very much shaped by their experiences of marginalization and discrimination within the community. There are many examples throughout our data collection of their rights being violated, and so there's a need to increase both their capacity to defend their rights, but also other community organizations to be able to advocate on behalf of their rights. And finally, I think what's loud and clear from this data is that immigration policy and labor policies really are health policies, and that if we're able to reform immigration policy and labor policies, it has the potential to improve the health drastically for these men. I'd like to acknowledge the funders that helped fund this study, and I welcome any questions or comments at the end. Thank you.